Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September.
As we enter the September, November, and Decembers of our years, we all hope the experience will be one of a joy of a life well lived, creative years where we can look back at the things that made our time on this earth memorable, surrounded by close friends and family. But for many, that joy, that ability to create, and even the precious memories of the past will be stolen by a cruel and unforgiving thief, the disease of Alzheimer's. I'm Glenn Moberg of Route 51, and today we look at an effort to make the lives of those afflicted with this disease and the lives of their families at least a little bit better through the creation of what are being called dementia-friendly communities. It's something that's being done right now in Wisconsin, as close as nearby Chippewa Falls. Our guests are Barb Evans, dementia care specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County, and Charles Schoenfeld, a Wausau man whose experience as a certified nursing assistant and caregiver led him to write the poignant and influential book, A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward. If you've got questions about Alzheimer's or a story you'd like to share about someone you know who has or is experiencing it, you can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. Let me give you that number again. It's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Chuck, it's been a couple of years since you wrote and published your book, and people, well, they're still reading it, apparently, and you're still getting speaking engagements, according to what you just told me.
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, it's pretty an unexpected speaking career has taken me all over Wisconsin. I've been to Chicago, Minneapolis, as far away as the state of Washington. But
and this funny book with the two dementia patients and the fake deer and the fake deer hunt scene on the cover of it, A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward, it's actually being used as a textbook for some studies.
It's required text at North Central Healthcare, the gerontology class, and at caregiving classes at Oregon State University.
And you were prompted to write the book based on your experiences at North Central Healthcare. Tell me how that happened.
Well, my mother lived with us until she was well into her 90s, until we could no longer care for her, and we had to move her into North Central Healthcare. After about a year on the nursing home proper, she was moved to a dementia ward. I live right down the block and was visiting every day and started liking the residents and enjoying their company. And the rest is kind of history. It's been a kind of an amazing journey for me because it's a self-published book. I don't have a publishing company backing me. It's all been word of mouth, and yet it's taking me some places I never expected to go, and it's been very rewarding.
It's quite an experience relatively late in life for a guy who mm-hmm. spent most of his career as a truck driver.
That's true.
What led you to go through that process of becoming a certified nursing assistant and actually serving on that dementia ward? I mean, it's one thing to have a family member who's got the problem, but to actually make that commitment yourself, not just to your mother, but to other people.
Well, sir, it really wasn't my mother. It was they kept me away from her most of the time. I worked on other units. I just liked the residents. I saw the need and the families, the suffering of the families. It's such a helpless feeling when you can no longer take care of your loved one in that kind of situation. And turning their life over into someone else's hands is a difficult decision, a terrible journey to have to take, and I just wanted to help.
Chuck, you're being very serious here, okay?
Okay?
And it is a serious topic, but the book is also very funny. You've got lots of stories about the crazy things that crazy people do. Did you ever get any criticism or blowback from folks who think that maybe you were being a little bit flippant with
no,
the topic.
Never.
Never.
No, sir. No one that that's involved with this disease and know what it's all about and is around it every day realizes the need for humor. Without it, I couldn't have stayed on that job. And it was just part of the reason I love those people so much. We didn't just always cry together. We laughed together, too.
You write, and I'm going to quote from the book, "The dynamics of daily life on a dementia ward, my encounters with coworkers, visiting family, and particularly the residents I helped, resulted in a train wreck of emotions that both broke and filled my heart. The stories are many." And you say about the disease, and I'm quoting again, "Human dignity is a birthright. That does not end with illness. Alzheimer's is a thief that robs people of their past, strips away their future, and leaves a life unfinished. Yet inside the walls of a dementia unit, human dignity lives."
Absolutely true. It's a true story. I believe every word of that. Every one of these people, they're not space aliens. There's so many stigmas associated with this darn disease, and I think that's what I hate the most, because these people were your daughter's third grade teacher. They were your mailman. Dementia, mental illness, does not discriminate. It affects all of us, and it's part of the reason we're here today to talk about dementia-friendly communities. The last time I was on your show, 2-3 years ago, Glenn, someone in the United States was diagnosed with Alzheimer's every 69 seconds. Today it's every 67 seconds. The disease is gaining on us. In England, where do I have that? In England, the death rate from Alzheimer's has risen. I've lost my place. 52% since 1990.
And this is a fatal disease. It's not just something that involves forgetfulness. If you don't die of something else first and you have Alzheimer's, you will eventually die from Alzheimer's.
Correct. It's only of the top 10 illnesses leading to death, it's the only one that cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed.
Barb Evans, you're a dementia care specialist at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County. What is a dementia care specialist, and do we have them at every aging and disability resource center across the state?
Right. Well, dementia care specialists were hired in 2014 to cover 16 counties in Wisconsin. So right now we don't have them in every aging and disability resource center throughout the state. However, the state did roll out a dementia care redesign program in February of 2014, which included the dementia care specialists, and hopefully in the long run, each aging and disability resource center will have one. What we do is provide several services and have a number of goals. One of them is to provide support to the aging and disability resource center staff in different programs and services and a different area of expertise in that area, because it is a growing concern. Another goal we have is to act as a catalyst for building dementia-friendly communities throughout the state, and particularly in those counties we service. And the third goal is to assist individuals and families who are living with Alzheimer's and other dementias, and to help them be active and to remain in their homes for as long as they'd like to do that.
And it's something like 70% of people suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's are still living at home.
That's correct. It's approximately 70%.
Tell us about the people you interact with on the job. We heard Chuck tell us about some of the people that he met on the dementia ward. Are your experiences similar? Are they different in any way?
Well, I don't actually provide hands-on care in working with individuals as Chuck does. However, I do meet with a lot of people who do have dementia, and some of them, many of them actually, it's undiagnosed at that point, because I do provide memory screenings for people who may have some concerns about their forgetfulness or confusion or anything like that. At that time, if somebody has what we call a positive screening, I counsel with them and give them some options. One of them is to sign a release for me to share that information with their physician. Unfortunately, in my experience up to this point, I found that almost half the people who have a positive screening don't want that information shared.
Really? And that again, is an example, I guess, of not only the stigma associated with it, but I think a person who gets a positive screening has to be terrified.
Absolutely. They don't know what to do at that point. And because there is a knowledge base for Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, they don't know what to do next, because they know that in the long run, as Chuck said earlier, this is a fatal disease.
All right, you just mentioned Alzheimer's and other dementias. We know that 5.2 million people have Alzheimer's in the United States. What's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Dementia is a symptom. If somebody has dementia, they have different symptoms that interfere with their daily lives. Things such as memory loss, as disorientation, difficulty planning and carrying out tasks. It could be language problems, word searching, those types of things. Lack of concentration, difficulty with old skills that they were very good at, following recipes, balancing a checkbook, and personality changes. Dementia is like an umbrella term. It covers many different diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's disease is it's a form of dementia that comes under that umbrella. And it is the most prevalent of all of the dementias.
Now, you see people in all stages of the disease, I imagine. You have people who are just concerned because they're beginning to be more forgetful than they had been in the past. And then you probably watch it progress too. How does it affect the victims, and how does it affect their families?
It's a sad journey for everybody. With the victims, they know they're confused in the beginning, don't know why they can't remember things, are repeatedly asking questions of their families or their caregivers. For the families and caregivers, it can become very sad, because it could be a parent who no longer knows their name at some point. It could be having to answer the same question over and over and over again every day or every few minutes. So it has its rewards. There are certainly very, very positive outcomes of caregiving, but there are also a lot of challenges along the way.
And Chuck, you became interested in this subject initially because of what you saw with your mother. Tell us how you first became worried about that, and how the progression developed in the case of somebody who was very close to you.
Well, with my mother, the circumstance was that she was living with us until she fell and broke her hip. Once she moved into the nursing home, she lived on the nursing home proper for about a year before she was moved to a dementia ward. She had begun wandering. Concerns about where she was going to end up took her to the dementia ward. I watched her confusion progress. She was only on the dementia ward about a year. But it got to the point where she no longer knew me and would often wheel herself away from me when I just sat down.
And that's got to be so painful for you and for other people who have gone through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm one of many. It's hard to put into words the feelings, the emotions of having a mother not recognizing her youngest son.
My grandmother on my father's side went through that kind of a progression, and she had lived with the same man for 50 years, and it got to the point where she didn't know him either.
Mm-hmm.
And they continued living together. He continued loving her. They continued to find ways to communicate and share common experiences, but to her, she was living with a stranger.
Yeah.
A lot of times, too, people have, even though they may not remember a person's name or know that it's a family member, they know a feeling. They have the feeling. They have comfort from that individual, and that's very helpful as well.
Robert Agee, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's the chief public policy officer of the Alzheimer's Association, and he writes, "There has never been a patient who recovered from Alzheimer's."
Correct.
That's true.
And nobody wants to talk about this disease. You know, it's like cancer was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like AIDS was 30 years ago. So how can we work on finding a cure for it when people don't even want to discuss it?
Well, that's the difficulty, Glenn, is pharmaceutical companies, and I could be wrong about this. I don't believe there's been one new prescription approved in the past 20 years to help in finding a cure for Alzheimer's. And if there's no money in it for the drug companies, then there's going to be less research. And we're losing the amount of research dollars allocated towards dementia lag far behind other major diseases.
Let me give you some statistics. In the past year, Congress has committed $5.4 billion for cancer research, mm-hmm. $5.4 billion, $3 billion for HIV/AIDS, $1.2 billion for heart disease, but just $566 million, half a billion dollars for Alzheimer's. That's a tenth of what's going to be spent on cancer research.
Yeah, there's six scientists for each one devoted to finding a cure for Alzheimer's. It's hard to explain.
And yet Alzheimer's is costing the U.S. economy, particularly Medicare and Medicaid, more than $250 billion a year.
Since the year 2011, nearly 40% of the increases in Medicare costs can be directly attributed to the increased costs of Alzheimer's treatment. Before 2011, there isn't even any data to look at. That's how much this disease has been ignored.
And that's why it's important to do shows like yours and to get the word out into the community to raise the awareness and to have people advocate more for additional funding for research and for treatments.
I mean, even if you're going to be hard-hearted about it, it's just cost-effective. If something is costing the U.S. economy almost $300 billion a year, why are you only spending half a billion on research mm-hmm. to find a solution to the problem?
And we're not alone in this. It's a worldwide epidemic. In Canada, 1% of the population accounts for 30% of the health care costs.
And that's just going to increase with an aging population.
Correct.
Absolutely, and particularly, you know, just notable for our state, by the year, just make sure I have the correct figures here, by the year 2035, approximately almost 202,000 people in Wisconsin alone, it's estimated, will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia.
And yet communities in Wisconsin, as in other parts of the country, are taking some steps in learning how to cope with the disease by developing this concept of dementia-friendly communities. Barb Evans, what exactly is that?
What we're working on right now, and there are a number of initiatives throughout the state, is raising awareness in the community and making it a comfortable, safe environment for people with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias to go out into the community. It is an initiative to provide supports for caregivers. It's to educate the public, particularly businesses. That's one of the big aspects of it, is looking at businesses and providing training for people within those businesses to recognize somebody who may have some confusion or memory loss and to be able to communicate with them effectively and help them out. So those individuals, because as we stated earlier, 70% of those people are still living in their own homes, they want to go to the banks. They want to go to their favorite restaurants. And they want to go to the hairdresser. And it's important that we try to decrease this stigma and erase this stigma associated with individuals with memory loss and to make sure they are comfortable and safe in their communities.
Well, you turned me on to the January copy of the AARP Bulletin, the newsletter put out by the American Association for Retired Persons, and it's got an entire section on dementia-friendly communities in Wisconsin, focusing a lot of attention on a very nearby community to us, Chippewa Falls.
Correct. Chippewa Falls has, I don't know if it's a coalition or alliance, but a group of individuals that were concerned about this growing problem and came together to put a training module in place where they've gone out into businesses and have trained people, employees, business managers, business owners, in recognizing and assisting people who have memory loss.
They talk about one particular person, Julie Anderl, who was diagnosed with dementia in her mid-50s. She was a successful lawyer in Chippewa Falls, and she, you know, she developed dementia relatively early in her mid-50s. Her mother, a lady named Janet Rubenzer-Pike, started working to make the community dementia-friendly, and one of the things they did, the coffee house that Julie used to go to, little things. They'd recognize her when she came in the door, and they'd have her order ready for her, the thing that she always ordered throughout her life, even though she was incapable of ordering it now.
Right, and it is those little things. And they don't cost anything additional for the businesses and organizations to provide those types of services to make an individual feel comfortable and to help them maintain their dignity and their quality of life as they battle through their dementia.
A drugstore, for instance, this is an example they give. They might draw arrows on the floor from the entrance back to the pharmacy window.
Correct, because most of the elderly people who go into the drugstore are going to the pharmacy, and they're usually in the back of the store.
And workers are taught to speak slowly, wait patiently for an answer, and then give just one direction at a time. Simple things like that.
Very simple things. And Chippewa Falls isn't the only community that is moving towards this. There are a number of them throughout the state. Watertown has been noted for their dementia-friendly community as well.
The article also mentions Appleton, which has 7 locations for memory cafes. Chuck, do you know anything about that? What's a memory cafe?
Sure. Yeah, well, we began one here. I launched one here in Wausau. It'll be 1 year anniversary this May. And we visited Appleton to see exactly how the process worked. And in essence, it's entirely free, and it's a place for individuals with experiencing early memory loss and their care partners to come and have a safe, comfortable environment where they can enjoy entertainment and refreshments.
It's kind of like a coffee house for...
Sure, we have... I've got a list here of some of the things we've done. We had school days in September. Someone from the Marathon County Historical Society had a presentation on old schoolhouses. And we had Jan Hintz from the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum talking about the SPARK program. Just a few others. Toyland, Get Your Game On. I'm Thumbbuddy Special. Laughing uh-huh. Yoga is coming up. We do a lot of singing. A lot of reminiscing.
How many people show up at this memory?
We've been averaging, well, we're growing, and it's been steady. We've been averaging close to 30 guests per cafe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of coffee houses that would wish they had 30 guests?
I believe so. I think we're doing very well. We're not losing anyone, and it seems like every month we have another couple or two walk in the door.
Well, this whole effort of dementia-friendly communities, Barb, it's being pushed by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services right now.
Yes, that's correct.
And I wrote it down somewhere, and I'm going to have to look for it. There is a spot you can go to if you want to find out more about it. It's dhs.wisconsin.gov/dementia, and they'll tell you all about dementia-friendly communities. Again, that's dhs.wisconsin.gov/dementia. Is this a hard sell for some businesses, you know, going in and saying, why don't you make your business more dementia-friendly? Does the stigma sometimes get in the way of what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I'm from Stevens Point, and I can just speak for our community. What we've done so far is we've developed a task force and partnered with different stakeholders in the community, including our law enforcement, medical providers, mental health agencies, adult protective services, assisted livings, the Alzheimer's Association, and we are to the point where we're about to bring in more businesses. However, the buzz is already out there, and we have had businesses contact us and say, would you please put us on that list? And because they do want the training, and we are going a little step further with what we're doing and incorporating the Purple Angel Project. So with doing that, the businesses that are trained and meet whatever the criteria is that's set by the task force, will those individuals will have a Purple Angel decal,
okay,
which has become more world recognized, to put in their storefront, in their store window. And that way the community members walking by can say, hey, this place is part of the Purple Angel Project. We know that somebody has gone in, and it's okay for me to take this person in there.
And that might actually help increase business, because
absolutely,
you're showing the community that you care as a businessman.
Absolutely. And it's just so exciting to have businesses contact us with that interest, because they heard somebody talk about something somebody went and saw. But the dementia care specialists that are in the 16 counties throughout the state, 16 ADRCs, are very instrumental in their communities and working with the same projects. And they're all specific to the community, so each one's going to be a little bit different.
And I want to mention to you, dear listener, that the website I just mentioned is now on the Route 51 Facebook page, so you've got an easy way to access it. If you just joined us, Barb Evans, Dementia Care Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County, and Charles Schoenfeld, the author of A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward. He was a caregiver at North Central Healthcare, and his experiences there led him to write that book. We'd like to hear from you. Do you have a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Do you have any stories you'd like to share with us? Maybe coping techniques that have helped you get through the situation. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now. You can get right through, or you can put a comment on our Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to take a short break. Here's John Prine.
You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in that.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Dental Health Associates, Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, and Viterbo School of Nursing. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Become a business sponsor. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woods and Art Museum, where 50 Greatest National Geographic Photographs features images and stories from the magazine's 120-year history through February 22nd. lywam.org.
We're talking about the effort to create dementia-friendly communities in Wisconsin with Barb Evans, Dementia Care Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County, and Charles Schoenfeld, author of A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward. We'd like to hear from you if you have an experience with dementia, someone in your family, if you have questions about the process of the disease, the resources that are available for you, and maybe some tips for those who might have to face the situation you're facing. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. Chuck Schoenfeld, you quoted the guy we're listening to, Waylon Jennings, in the title of this song, "I've Always Been Crazy, But It Keeps Me From Going Insane."
A lot of the ways I got by every day was to kind of join the party, you know. You have to learn not to argue with a dementia patient, trying to correct them is usually useless. So I kind of went along with everything and laughed with them when they were laughing, cried with them when they were crying, and just did my best to be a friend, and that seemed to work.
The cover of your book shows you and two patients, Sid and Eddie, wearing blaze orange caps with a life-size deer decoy with a noose around the neck. Tell us about Sid and Eddie's last deer hunt.
Well, it was, I think most professional caregivers would agree with me that finding activities for your male residents can be quite a bit more difficult than it is for the female residents. This is Wisconsin. I'm a lifelong deer hunter, so I showed up at work one day with all of my deer hunting equipment minus the guns. I had antlers for rattling and binoculars and compasses and doe bleats and buck grunts, life-sized deer decoy and some rope. And we held a deer hunt.
Tell me how that went.
It went great. We, looking through the binoculars, I'm not sure I could put that into words for you. But we blew on the doe bleats and snorted on the buck grunts when one of the girls walked by. And eventually I tipped the decoy over and... with all the excitement I could muster, I hollered, "Eddie, you got him! Nice shot, Eddie!" And it went from there. He bought into it, and we dragged it around the unit, and hung it up so pictures could be taken, and it was a special day.
And that was a special day, but it's got to be challenging as a caregiver, too. What do you do? And this is an example from your book. What do you do when you're alone with a patient in an elevator, and he acts like he's standing in front of a urinal?
Well, there wasn't much for me to do at that particular juncture in the book. He was just a wonderful gentleman who was confused. The doors closed, and I was on the way to taking him to the restroom. When the elevator door closed, he apparently thought we had arrived.
It's got to take a special kind of attitude to be a caregiver on a dementia ward.
I believe so. It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but for those who go into it, and it can be so extremely rewarding. It won't make you rich, but monetary wise. But there are other rewards that can be of a lot more value.
And Barb Evans, as we mentioned before, 70% of people suffering from dementia still live at home. So you have to develop, I guess, those same attitudes if you're living with those folks in order to get by day to day.
Right, and that can be really challenging sometimes because you get worn down, and it's really important for the caregivers to seek assistance and to seek support. And there are so many supports available to caregivers as well.
I want to mention again that you work at the Aging and Disability Resource Center that's located at the Lincoln Center on Water Street in Stevens Point. The number that I have from your webpage is 715-346-1401. Is that where people can call if they have questions?
Absolutely.
Again, that's 715-346-1401. And even if you're not from Stevens Point, Barb and the staff would be able to point you in the right direction in your community.
Yes, we could. And not only in our community, but I even had a lady who contacted me about her mother-in-law who lives in Michigan and didn't know where to go to get her some assistance, as the mother-in-law was caring for her own sister who has dementia. So I was able to get some resources for her, and she was able to provide those to her mother-in-law.
Patrick on the Route 51 Facebook page writes, there are conflicting statistics on where dementia patients receive the best care. Is it at home? Is it with assisted living? Or is it in a nursing home?
Part of it depends on the needs at the time. An individual's needs change over the course of the disease. And it depends on financial resources and what's appropriate. There are a lot of things to look at when looking at all those different things. You know, at home, is somebody able to provide service all the time? Mm-hmm. Do they have the right frame of mind, like we were talking about earlier? Are finances an issue? You know, if they are, and that is causing somebody to hesitate a placement somewhere, there are services available to help people out as well. So it really depends on what the needs are for the individual.
Families really struggle. They do need resources. It's a 24/7 proposition. And then another problem that comes about is if they do start considering placement, then there's a guilt process that they go
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it didn't happen, but it does. It's just part of the doggone disease. But my background, of course, is with the nursing home, and there are a lot of, just like Alzheimer's has stigmas, so do nursing homes. But they've come so far from where they were in the 1950s, the people.
The important thing is to check them out thoroughly and make sure that they fit the needs for not only you but the person that is going to be living there.
That's correct. And if somebody is a caregiver, there are so many caregiver support groups that are available in communities. The Alzheimer's support group is available for individuals. And if somebody doesn't know where to go to different support groups, medical facilities can often direct them. The Aging and Disability Resource Centers, which every community has, every county has, will be able to provide that information as well.
Awareness of Alzheimer's has picked up this Oscar season thanks to a movie starring Julianne Moore called Still Alice. It's based on the best-selling novel by Lisa Genova. Either of you see that?
I have not seen the movie, however. I read the book.
Yeah, I read the book.
What do you think of it?
I thought it was very insightful. It was you could feel her pain and her confusion and frustration, but also recognize that she just wanted to remain to be her person.
Well, in the movie, Julianne Moore plays a 50-year-old woman, a brilliant linguistics professor with early onset Alzheimer's. She actually got an Oscar nomination for Best Actress because of her portrayal. She had to do a lot of research for the movie. We're going to listen to Julianne Moore talking about the role and what she learned about Alzheimer's victims. This is a portion of an interview she did last week with Jon Stewart of The Daily Show.
And one of the things that I heard from people, too, when I asked, you know, what is it like?
Yeah.
They'd say, it's not always the same. You literally have good days and bad days. And
right.
A good day, you think, like, I'm fine. I'm coping fine. I don't have Alzheimer's. On the bad day, you're like, I can't get through anything.
Right.
And the same thing will happen moment to moment. So you will have these flashes of cognition that are normal, and then but you'll have dropped out. Like, for example, getting lost was explained to me not like, do I go left or go right, but as a, more like a panic attack. Like,
yes.
Some you're looking at something and you don't know what it is, and your heart starts to pound, and you're short of breath, and everyone told me that you're supposed to just stay calm, stay where you are, take a deep breath, and
right.
Wait. They say don't go anywhere
if
you can possibly avoid it.
But then moments of great joy.
Yeah.
Sort of, and I can remember moments of real happiness, and almost it becoming tougher for those around as the person slips away.
Mm-hmm.
They enter a place almost out of preservation. That
yeah.
is a little more joyful, maybe in a different place, a different time they exist. But you don't. But
right.
but you're happy for their escape.
Their escape. If it happens that way, and it
yes.
depends.
Yes, doesn't
on
always
the,
happen.
It, does,
that way.
It depends on the
right.
individual. And they
right.
and I so literally in stages where people are more declined, they will sometimes revert to places when they were happiest or they remember the most. There was a guy that I met actually in a facility who was really gregarious and would greet
mm-hmm.
everybody as they came in and say, what's your name? Sit down, sister, and talk to me a while. And he had owned a bar on Second Avenue.
Oh, wow.
So he'd been a bartender his entire life. And that remained with him, that kind of sociability and love of conversation. And so I did find that people did not, it's not like someone disappears entirely.
Right.
There was a sense of who they are.
That's Julianne Moore talking to Jon Stewart about her role playing a 50-year-old woman with early onset Alzheimer's. She's won an Oscar nomination for Best Actress because of her portrayal in the movie Still Alice. Chuck and Barb, that must strike a chord with you. Dementia sufferers do not completely lose their identity because of their affliction.
Well, that's true, Glenn. I worked with people that were in the mid-stages. I cared for people in the mid-stages, and we were able still to communicate, have some confabulated conversations that are hard to repeat, but we still enjoyed each other's company, sang songs. But as time went by, that person would disappear. They faded away.
You talk in your book about Elsie, who used to go on long walks with you, and she never said a word for months until she said three words to you.
Well, actually, Glenn, it was 5 years, not months. This is a true story, a true book, and it chokes me up.
What did she say?
She said, I love you.
After 5 years. Chuck Schoenfeld. He's the author of A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward. And we also have dementia care specialist Barb Evans. We're talking about Alzheimer's. We're talking about dementia. We're talking about the effort to form dementia-free communities
dementia-friendly communities
in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Here's Frank Sinatra.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. Cause you make me feel so young.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Brown County Civic Music Association, Jewelers Workshop, and River Place Dental. You too can help ensure the future of WPR programs for years to come. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Sisters, clear thy confusion boats, mutiny from stern to bow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
As we listen to the birds and enter our final segment on Route 51, as we talk about the effort to create dementia-friendly communities in the state of Wisconsin and the effort to cope with this disease that afflicts so many of our people, not just the elderly, but many people earlier in life who, for one reason or another, become afflicted with Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia. Chuck Schoenfeld, Charles Schoenfeld, the author of A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward, and Portage County Dementia Care Specialist Barb Evans, our guests. If you want to get a quick phone call in, 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on our Route 51 Facebook page. Greg on Facebook asks, can you comment on the new Stanford study that blocking receptors in the brain's immune center was found to counter Alzheimer's in mice? And we are putting a link to that study on our Facebook page. Either of you hear about that?
I have not, Glenn, but I can tell you this. I'm on the computer all the time, different Alzheimer's websites. There's so many studies out there, and I get information almost daily on promising new studies, and they just – nothing comes of it, and that's the last I hear of him. I'm not trying to dash his hopes. I hope this could be the one, but I haven't heard about it. They're just always something out there that they're saying is going to do the trick, and nothing ever comes of them.
I did read something about it recently. However, I don't really know enough at this time. It sounds like there may be some promise there, but you know, we can all just hope that something does come out of it that's helpful.
And there are possible paths that we could take for research if we just had the money for the research. Here are some interesting facts, and again, these could all be paths for research. Why are 2/3 of Alzheimer's victims women? Why is the disease most common with those over 65, but yet younger people can get it? People with rheumatoid arthritis, a painful autoimmune disorder, generally don't get dementia. Their joints may hurt, but their minds stay alert. Why is that? And people with Down syndrome have a heightened capacity to develop the brain condition, you know, and they can see this physically when they do autopsies that are associated with Alzheimer's, but they don't normally develop dementia. Why is that? But yet we don't have the money for the research. And as we said before, Alzheimer's currently costs the U.S. some $214 billion each year, according to the federal government. Care of victims will cost Medicare and Medicaid $150 billion this fiscal year, but we only appropriate about a half a billion for research.
Correct.
though the greatest risk for developing dementia is age. It's age-driven, although early onset, 200,000 people in the U.S. Have been diagnosed with early onset, like the lady in Still Alice. And while there aren't any hard numbers out at this time, doctors across the country are reporting more and more cases of early onset Alzheimer's.
I think we're seeing more of that in our communities as well. I know.
I want to get a quick phone call in here from Christy in northern Wisconsin. Christy, you called in late in the show. And Christy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I have a little problem with my phone. Like, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. You have to be relatively brief because we're running out of time for the radio show.
Okay. I spent a lot of time with my mom for several years with this, and it did progress. Some advice: when you finally make the decision to move your parent or person into assisted living, bring them in and say you're going to go to the bathroom and leave. Don't stay there for 3 or 4 hours. It'll be very miserable. It'll be one of the worst days of your life. Just understand that they live right now in the moment. So that was one piece of advice. And another thing, my mother went through for 5 years and she didn't eat because she lost the ability to know how to do that. And the last 2 years of her life, she did. So that's a really weird situation, but they can live on insure.
Christy, thank you so much for sharing your experiences. Very quickly, Barb or Chuck, any reaction to that?
I know the insurer she was talking about is the supplement drink, the vitamin drink that's so often people use the ability to feed themselves and the ability to swallow.
We've got another call from Helen in Wisconsin Rapids about diet and Alzheimer's. Helen, again, we're at the end of the show. You have to be very brief.
Certainly. I'm just wondering, as professionals, what you can tell us, and I'll listen off air, as far as the correlation between gluten-free diets and why our diets have changed so much, and maybe this could be a precursor to what we're seeing in our dementia and Alzheimer's. And I will listen off air.
All right. Thank you, Helen.
I think, as Chuck mentioned earlier, there are so many studies going on right now, and there's nothing that's really conclusive at this point. So it's something to watch.
I do know that the Mayo Clinic recommends a Mediterranean diet.
Right.
That's the extent of my expertise.
Mm-hmm. People who have suffered from Alzheimer's: Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Stewart, Margaret Thatcher, Wisconsin Senator Bill Proxmire, blues singer Etta James, actors Charles Bronson, Peter Falk, and Charlton Heston, columnist Abigail Van Buren, singer Perry Como, Secretary of State Cyrus Vance. This affects a lot of people with very good minds.
It absolutely does. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how smart you are, how much of a contribution you've made, you may be affected.
What can people do in the effort to make their hometown a dementia-friendly community? Let's start with you, Barb.
I think one of the things is to help raise awareness within the community and start speaking out, getting involved with different organizations, with caregiver support groups, and start a conversation within your community.
And what can people do if they're worried that they or someone they love may have Alzheimer's?
We do provide the free memory screenings at the Aging Disability Resource Center. If there is a dementia care specialist, you can also ask your doctor. Mm-hmm. You can get memory screenings done at different medical facilities as well. And that's a starting point. And just follow that course.
Chuck Shainfeld, we're going to give you the last word here.
In Wausau here, we have started the Memory Cafe. That's a first step. It's probably the hardest one. It's kept me busy right now. Getting volunteers is a process. It's not something I'm good at, but anyone wants to give me a call about working with a dementia-friendly community, I'd be glad to.
Give us the phone number.
715-842-9809.
We also have a memory cafe in the Stevens Point area, and individuals can call the Aging Disability Resource Center for information about that, as well as those springing up throughout the state.
Barb and Chuck, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Fairy tales can come true.
We're not done yet.
It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
We want to thank today's guest, Barb Evans, Dementia Care Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County, Charles Shainfeld, author of A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the Dementia Ward, the Aging and Disability Resource Center in the Lincoln Center on Water Street in Stevens Point. You can reach them at 715-346-1401. That's 715-346-1401. Charles Shainfeld's book is available at Yankee Books and Barnes & Noble in Wausau. And for more information on efforts to create dementia-friendly communities, check out the Route 51 Facebook. We have a link. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special music today by Willie Nelson, John Prine, Waylon Jennings, Frank Sinatra, The Byrds, and Jimmy Durante. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, until next week, we're heading out of town.
And if you should survive to 105,